Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Again, yeah, the big guy's out today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. It's only one day. Don't freak out, people. He'll be back. He'll be all right. We'll get through this together. Final hour of the program. Big thanks to everyone who's hung out today. Lloyd, obviously, putting together an impressive show as well. Lots of guests, lots of insight, a lot of people breaking stuff down. Stevenson Sylvester hanging out with us in studio for this segment. Fresh off the spring game for the University of Utah. But Stevenson, the first question here, man. You a hockey guy? You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big hockey guy. I tell a story all the time. I lived right across the street from Console Energy Center.
Okay.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So I went and see a lot of Pittsburgh Penguin games. Absolutely love it. So I'm a big hockey fan.
That's a city that loves its hockey, too.
Hockey town for sure. Well, sports town in
general. Yeah.
Pirates, Steelers, Penguins, everything with P over there. But Pittsburgh is just absolutely awesome. It's a sports town with a drinking problem. It's awesome. But the Penguins, they take seriously.
All right. I got to ask you, before we get into Utah and everything else, Russell Wilson and Mike Tomlin, how do you think that marriage goes?
I think it's going to go great.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Russell Wilson, he needed a guy who's an actual leader. Pete Carroll's a leader. You know, Pete Carroll had to deal with so many different personalities before Russell Wilson. He knew how to handle that. Nathaniel Hackett doesn't know anything.
Oh, no.
Nathaniel Hackett was trying to appease everybody.
Yeah.
So that started off on the wrong foot, right? And then you transition into Sean Payton. Sean Payton is like, no, it's my way or the highway. There's no continuity, no chemistry, no time to make anything happen. And I think just that small little excerpt of time with Nathaniel Hackett just ruined that whole thing, because there were so many rumors about Russell Wilson and how he operated, from his team coming in to him needing his own private meetings and him just being, you know, this prima donna. And so Sean Payton was coming in with that knowledge and, you know, not trying to build at that same time. So that was just a tattered relationship before it even started.
Mike Tomlin's as good as it gets, though, in terms of...
He is. He's not in it to... he's his own. He's an A-list celebrity himself, so he's not in it to try to be competitive as far as that goes. He's a big culture guy, you know, a player guy, especially if you have players. Mike Tomlin succeeds when he has players who will take the responsibility on themselves to be better. He can challenge you. He's like that older brother. You can't do that. He'll challenge you, but he'll also give you the opportunity to put your best tape on field. Let you be you with some direction. And I think Mike Tomlin does that the best. That's why he has the best rapport with his players.
All right. You saw the spring game up on the hill. Give me your, before we take a deep dive, give me your bird's eye view of what you saw and what you liked and what needs to improve on.
Well, I didn't watch the spring game. I was actually out of town.
Oh, okay.
Spring games are always, spring games are weird for me because it's just like, you only get so much out of spring game. So that's why I was like, most of the practices throughout the year is what really gave me the biggest inclination. And then just the stats from the spring game. I saw a lot of highlights from the spring game taken away from that. So I didn't get to see every single play and how things went. But exactly what I thought happened, it was great. You know, Isaac Wilson did absolutely amazing. You know, Cam Rising, you know, he's been moving around great all spring. And that was just no better telling than the spring game to connect with all guys like Money Parks and Brant Keithy throughout that day. That was absolutely awesome. You saw Landon King and Isaac Wilson connect multiple times. I thought that was an interesting connection. Biggest thing for me, even throughout the spring, is how deep is our offensive roster?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You literally have a three deep that can start on a lot of university teams. And so that's just awesome. I mean, you can, for me, I just get excited with the different packages that Andy Ludwig is going to be able to put together, from the multiple tight end sets to the all receiver sets to putting Mekhi Bernard in there and going five wide. Mekhi Bernard is essentially another receiver at the running back position. So you can flex him out. You remember just about 5, 6, 7 years ago with Tyler Huntley, you know how many shifts and motions we had within our offense? You're going to see a lot of that this year. Right, you know, in the spring game, you went a lot of five wide. Right, we saw them spread the ball out, put Money Parks out there, Brant Keithy out there, and all your other weapons, Tayshaun Lyons out there, and Dorian Singer, and you could just see all the different weapons we can get the ball to. So that's what really excites me about this football team, is the plethora of things that we can do. I mean, 2 years ago, we had a double tight end system with Dalton Kincaid and Brant Keithy. Worked great. we can do that again with Landon King and Brant Keithy again. You know, but also we didn't see the spring. Muneer McClain.
Yeah.
He came on great last year, right? He's a tremendous asset. Now he's, you know, just structurally at the receiver position instead of being that tweener, which I didn't think he liked. I don't think he was really good at the tight end position, but they're making him a receiver. He's dynamic as well. So we got Singer, Lyons, Muneer McClain, Money Parks. You got just assets all over the place. And so I'm very, very excited to see what this offense puts together.
So there were a lot of years Hans and I get on the air and I just lose my mind. Because, you know, I knew how good Jake Murphy was and Wesley Tonga and some of these other great tight ends that they had at the University of Utah, but they just never got showcased to the level that they should have. And now, all of a sudden, Utah's pumping out great tight ends.
Like it's nothing.
Like it's no big deal. Like, is it just Andy? Like, what do you think this shift has been where there's been such an emphasis and such an accelerated ability to really not only recruit but develop high-level tight end play?
I think it's the times, right? I was just talking to Freddie Whittingham kind of like the first, second week of spring ball, and he was just like, you know, more and more often, you know, these high school guys are like tight ends my position. Normally you had to transfer somebody and you got a really athletic big guy. Let's make him into a tight end. No, people are starting out being tight ends at a younger age and it's really athletic. You know, they're multiple sport players. A lot of these tight ends are basketball players. You know, the Antonio Gates, the Tony Gonzalez's, right? Very athletic guys that can move. You can get them on one-on-one. They're too big for DBs, too fast for linebackers, and they're just a matchup nightmare. And so, and that's what you get with Brant Keithy and Landon King. Landon King's about 6'5", lanky, tall, can jump out the gym. You put him one-on-one around the goal line, you're going to see a lot of touchdowns in that situation. Brant Keithy all over the field. You can just you use him as fullback, use him as receiver, use him as tight end. You know, he'll catch those tight end sweeps. Essentially, Travis Kelce, I think he's more athletic than a Travis Kelce, you know, is Brant Keithy. So this offense is just deep.
So as a former linebacker, just what kind of a nightmare is it dealing with Keithy and what he can do and the matchup nightmare he presents?
I think what makes Keithy so dangerous and hard to guard is the offense itself.
Yeah.
We're not paying attention to Brant Keithy by himself. If it was Brant Keithy by himself, we're like, okay, if he's on this side of the formation, we have to do this. We can ISO this, send him out to the corner, we can game plan this. But the problem is you can't do that because you got all these other guys. You got a quarterback who can give the other guys the ball. He's not solely focused on Brant Keithy. So the biggest issue with Brant Keithy on defense is all about angles and, you know, trapping people and not understanding where the defenders are coming from. Brant Keithy not knowing who's guarding him. You can't do that when you have five other weapons that are just as dangerous, right? And so what makes Brant Keithy so dangerous and such a threat is that, you know, the defense has to play him one-on-one and has to play him one-on-one from all kinds of different angles. And so if Brant Keithy is able to go across the middle, he has all the field to work on. And he can come back. He's very dynamic in his skill set as far as how his technique is used. And this was a big route, you know, where they do the under route and then they come back. It's a whip route. And he just does it extremely well with understanding who's guarding him. Talking to Isaac Wilson, this is an NFL-style offense. Coach Ludwig puts in an NFL-style offense. So a lot of the things you see on Sundays, you will see within this offense. And when everybody's healthy and everybody can click on the same page, boy, look out.
Because that's what we've always talked about the Utah defense is that nothing prepares you for the NFL more than Kyle Whittingham's defense.
I know that the best, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Now the offense is catching up.
Yeah. And that was the biggest thing. My rookie year, James Ferrier and Larry Foote, all these veteran linebackers on the Steelers, you know, we're in the spring, first OTAs, and they're like, man, these guys don't know anything. And the next, you know, I just started rattling off all this stuff. And they're like, okay, maybe he does know what he's talking about. And that's simply because I do understand the concepts and the techniques. The terminology changed, but that's it. So as far as me fixing my notes, I was like, okay, cover two is called gold. You know, XYZ, XYZ, you know, throughout the break. And I was like, all right, that's all I got to do. So every time I thought of a play, I just thought of what I called it in Utah. And I was like, that's what I run.
Yeah.
And the technique and everything was all the same. And so, yes, very NFL-style defense we had, and I think the offense is right along that same path.
You lose some key pieces of that defensive backfield. How do you think those safeties look? You know, losing some guys, but it's Utah. You guys, I mean, yeah. You guys always restock the shelves, and you got it's always next NFL safety up. Do you feel like the transition is going to be pretty smooth in that regard?
Well, it helps when your defensive coordinator is also your position coach.
For sure. For sure.
Right? And so Colt Bishop, Sione Vaki had a lot of success. You know, one, we've been safety you for a little bit now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've been putting them out there with Julian Blackman, Marcus Williams, Marquise Blair, Robert Johnson, all the guys over the years. This has just been a very successful room. And so Cole Bishop, Sione Vaki coming into this mix just fits right in, right? They learn from him. Those guys had more years of college, how good they were to play. I think they're going to do really well in the draft next week as well. But I think the new guys coming in, you know, Tayo Johnson, you know, he played nickel. But the way we play our defense, our safety and nickel is interchangeable. Sione Vaki came down and played nickel. Cole came down and played nickel. And then Tayo ran back to safety. So it wasn't a big adjustment. I just talked to Tayo last week, and he's like, this is my natural position is safety. So I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
You're not, and he was a quarterback in high school. How many defensive guys understand what a quarterback mentality is at the post safety position? So he can play against quarterbacks. I know the quarterback's going to be looking for this out of this 2x2 set. Let me shade to this side. No, I'm going to go. That's a great safety right there. Robert Johnson did that so well. Marcus Williams did that so well. And I think Tayo Johnson's going to be the same way. And they're having a competition for that other safety spot. And, you know, competition brings the best out of everybody. And so I think that Jonah Hall, Nate Ritchie, Aliki Gilman, Jelani Davis, when he comes in this training camp, there's just a lot of options that we can do at the safety position. And they're doing extremely well. All the practices that I've seen this year, they look great. They look confident. It's just like, who do you choose right now? And so we've seen Jonathan Hall in the bowl game. He played really well in the bowl game against Northwestern. Did. And that's the first time everybody's seen him. And so now he's got that confidence from that game. All of this spring, and Nate Ritchie just getting his feet wet, you know, back from his mission last year. Now this year, he's looking better. And so I just think that this defense is going to be in great position. We don't have anything to worry about.
So, you know, I watch a lot of Big 12 just because of BYU in their last year. And it's just fun football. I mean, offenses are crazy in the Big 12. I think that there's a lot of people out there that are going to look at, and this is going to make me sound like kind of a Utah honk when I say this, but there's a lot of people out there that have said, oh, I don't know if Utah's, you know, they better be prepared for the Big 12 offenses. I actually think the Big 12 offenses better be prepared for a Utah defense because there's not a lot of defenses that smack people in the mouth like a Utah defense does. And I think a lot of teams across the Big 12 are going to be like, oh, geez, who are these dudes? Because there's a level of physicality that comes with Utah defense that I don't think exists at a high level in the Big 12.
That's a very subjective comment, you know, because it's just like, do you think the Big 12 was better than the Pac-12? I mean, whoever asked you that, right? Because it's just like the Pac-12 had six top 25 teams for more than 7 to 8 weeks of the season.
Yes, I agree.
Utah with the fourth string quarterback was one of those six. Like, come on.
I think from a not necessarily from a talent standpoint, but I think from a schematic standpoint, the Big 12 likes the air raid. They throw it all over the place and stuff like that.
That's exactly what Alabama said, too. And I'm like, that was the most basic offense we ever played. And I'm like, this is easy. When I was preparing for the game against Alabama, I'm just like, what is everybody talking about? This is stuff that we learn on day one of install of training camp. This is basic offense, and this is what you're killing in the SEC about? So, again, I'm with you on that. Y'all better be worried about Utah more than anybody else because, one, this is an NFL-style defense. We translate. We can adapt to a lot of different styles of offense. That's easy. The way we play defense from even when I played to even I know now, it doesn't matter what offense is out there, spread offense, tight offense, pro offense, whatever you want to do, this defense can adapt and adjust every single one of our defensive play calls goes to whatever formation is out there on the football field. We can make that happen. And then our offense on the same page, we've seen it all. We've seen all of the athletic guys. And that's the thing. Defense has to adjust the offense. So offense does whatever the heck they want. Now we got Cam Rising back, a great quarterback. You know, we got a great quarterback two battle going on right now. Like, the Big 12 defenses are going to have to adjust to what we put out there offensively.
Yeah.
I already know for a fact our defense can adjust to whatever. So I don't know what that statement comes from.
Lander Barton, just a phenom.
Yes, he is.
And obviously, we're all disappointed with the injury last year. But from a health standpoint, how do you think he looks and what do you expect from him? Because, frankly, we talk about NFL talent. That dude is screaming NFL talent.
I mean, you just look at him.
I know, just a specimen.
Yes, yeah. Specimen is a great word. You just look at him and it just screams NFL. This guy, he has the body, has a pedigree with Jackson, Cody, as his brothers, who've played on that level. One, he was a five-star recruit himself. He was already confident, doing extremely well. Just one of the most athletic guys that have probably came through this system at the linebacker position. He looks good, you know, coming back from that injury. I've seen him. They took it easy on him in the spring. Didn't need to rush anything back. Plus, you wanted to build the linebacker depth, especially with this injury to Lavonte DeMooney. So he didn't need to press him coming back so soon, but wanted to make sure that he was good. And I'm telling you, the stuff that I've seen him do this spring, he's ready to go. And so in training camp, just expect, you know, great things from him. But he might have an all-conference type, all-American type season just because of his confidence mindset. You know, this will be his third year in this system. He knows exactly what's going on, what to expect. And this defense is loaded with talent as well. You know, you want to focus in on Lander Barton coming off the left edge. Okay, you're going to have Connor O'Toole coming on the other edge. Right, you're going to have Junior Tafuna coming up the middle. Like, this defense is loaded, packed, ready to go, and I'm excited to see what they're able to do this year.
What Lavonte had to do last year and put a lot on his shoulders was absolutely amazing. Yes. And it just breaks my heart that he suffered that injury.
It does. I mean, he was talking to him before the spring ball started. He was more excited than anybody.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we're back. We got an offense that can compete with us. And we got, and this is the thing is, last year he didn't know what this defense was capable of. But he was able to play in this defense, and literally, if you think about it, all we needed was some offense. Yeah. We get some offense to complement this defense. It's great. We're getting that. That's what he was so excited about. This defense, I know its capabilities. We're going to be absolutely awesome. And just to know that he got that injury, is just it's tough, and I've been there.
Yeah.
But it sucks, but he's going to be a big part of this team.
Cam Rising, I mean, it goes without saying that Utah missed him desperately last year. Just from a leadership standpoint, you're around this guy, you're around the team very closely. We know him as a player, but you know him as a man and a leader.
Right.
What does that element bring to this team this upcoming season?
He's just fun, right? You know, you see in the spring game, he's doing the celebration dances with the team. That, for me, just it speaks everything. It's a little thing. But it speaks everything. It's the guys who appreciate him there. Cam Rising isn't going to make all the throws. He can. He's not going to make all the throws every single game, right? He's not going to be perfect, right? He, when that game 2 years ago against Caleb Williams here, you know, he had 2 touchdowns passing but 3 touchdowns rushing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so, yeah, he had that. But, like, he's going to make the right play when it needs to be made, right? In the bowl game against Northwestern, you know, it was more so, it's just like, the guy's open, get him the ball. How do you not see that pre-snap? You know, being a quarterback's not about making the throws. It's about making the necessary plays when it needs to be made. And that's a lot of things about your confidence, your preparation. And I think Cam Rising has all of that. You know, so yeah, he can make that throw. He can make a little, a short slant throw that could go for yard, and he's going to look amazing doing that. That's just a regular throw. It's about making the right play at the right time. And who's at the helm doing that is all that matters.
I want to circle back to Mekhi Bernard. He said, I believe, Lloyd, he mentioned the quote in one of their interviews that he wants a 1,500-yard year, 1,000 on the ground, 500 through the air. Is that feasible for him?
1,000 on the ground, 500 in the air? I'd actually flip that.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
I'd flip that with this offense.
Well, let's just say 1,500 combined.
I definitely think it's possible. As I said, him being a part of this offense – is huge, because the defense won't know exactly, because, you know, the defense doesn't change their personnel until the offense does.
Yeah.
Right? That's why every time the offense makes a substitution, you have to give the defense the ability to change, to match that personnel. When he's on the field, they can go spread offense. They can go tight formation. That's why when they go 12 personnel with 2 tight ends and Mekhi Bernard back there, they can spread that out. Go Landon King and Brent Keithy at the tight end position, Money Parks and Dorian Singer, and then Mekhi Bernard.
Yeah.
Right?
Good luck.
You could go in from 12 personnel with a traditional running formation to spread and be all as dangerous. Like, this is going to create so many issues for defenses to where now Utah's going no huddle. Gosh, I hope I'm not giving away any plans or anything. But this is all
it's April.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You know. But this is what the capabilities of the Utah offense are going to be. And it's going to be absolutely awesome. So, I mean, Mekhi Bernard, I think, is plenty capable. He's so fast, so quick. You've seen all the different highlights that he's been able to do. I think he's more than capable of doing a 12 to 1,500 yard season.
Who is the third and one goal line? You need that yard. Who's that running back on this team?
Man, if you watch Anthony Woods' tape, you would put him in there.
Yeah.
Right? He is a hard-hitting guy. But Mike Mitchell's a great running back. The way he hits the hole is very Tavion Thomas-like. When Tavion Thomas was hitting those holes hard in 2021, the way he runs that football, he brings that mentality to it. So I absolutely love him running the football. I honestly don't know how they'll do it. You know, because Jalen Glover's always the same. You know, he's such a short guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That he's low center of gravity, but he is strong. He, like, if you check his weight room, he lifts with the top. He's in the top of the leaderboards on all of the lifts because he's so strong. So he might be that guy that you put in there for all of that, right? Or just, hey, let me do multiple shifts, try to jump the defense off sides, and then at the end of the day, I'm going to quarterback sneak it with Cam Rising. That's what it is. That you can do that too, right? Hopefully they jump off sides so I don't even have to use it. But Cam Rising could be that guy.
So we always mention this with Tyler Huntley to a certain extent, and even Brian Johnson all the way back to your era. I didn't mean to call you old. I'm way older than you.
But
when you've got a player that is so integral to your success mm-hmm. but has dealt with some injuries, mm-hmm. does that alter a little bit on how you call plays and what kind of risk you put him in? Or it's like, hey, look, we got to run our stuff, and Cam Rising can run the ball. He's a threat. We you know what? Let's just go let it loose and see what happens.
I think when you try to protect against it, you get more injuries.
I know, right? Yeah.
So I would not call it. He's shown that he's healthy. He's shown that he's good. He's shown that he has confidence in that leg. Go do it.
Yeah.
Go do it. Don't hold him back, because the last thing you want to do is instill any type of inconsistency with your play calling with him. Don't act like he's injured. Don't baby him, because that creates a complex within him. Like, oh, maybe they see something that I am that I'm not. And then gets him to thinking about something else. As far as you calling everything, they think I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
He's that type of guy, right? He can make that happen. And so for me, with Cam Rising, I wouldn't think of any injury. Just go out there and run your offense. Whatever play is going to get you into the end zone is what play you need to run.
So with a lot of my commitments with basketball and stuff like that, I have not had a chance to get to a lot of practices, but I took a long, hard look at that spring game over the weekend. And again, that's a small sample size.
Small sample size.
And you don't have to comment because of your ties to the program, but I'm going to say this. Like, I think Isaac Wilson's the two. And what I saw from him in that spring game, I thought, this dude is going to be really, really good. And I know that Kyle Whittingham is a guy that is going to reward talent
right
above experience. Like, mm-hmm. and I think if, God forbid, something happens and you either need a stretch of one game or a half or multiple games, I think Isaac Wilson might be the guy.
Hey, man, I covered Isaac Wilson in high school, you know, these last few years, and just seeing his development over the years and what he's been able to do, you know, at that level, you know, talking about pre-snap reads,
yeah.
right? Talking about making the right play when it happens, whether it's a short pass, whether it's running the football, or whether it's throwing the ball away, or getting a guy open, throwing a guy open. Isaac Wilson does all that stuff. So here nor there, whether it's this year or not, he is the quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
That's what I would say about it.
Well, that kid can sling it. And
yes,
you talk about it. You talk about a kid that's got quarterback in his DNA.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, that dude was born to be a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he has the confidence, and he's building rapport with the teammates as well. And that's everything. From that quarterback position, you just understand the leadership that we talked about earlier, how important that is to not only the offensive guys, but your defensive guys too. You want your defense to be able to believe in you as the quarterback so they get you the football.
One final thought. How big of a role does Smith Snowden play on this team next year?
Man.
I know, right?
Right. Well, the nickel position is the hardest position in football.
Yeah.
You can ask anybody that's played the game, from the offensive line position to the receiver to the quarterback and the kicker. The nickel position is the hardest because you got to follow essentially the best player on the field in that slot position, which means he can go anywhere on the football field, and you have to be able to keep up with him. You got to mirror him. That is so hard to do when somebody who runs a 4.3 can go anywhere on the football field, and you essentially just have to track him. It's hard. Smith Sullivan can do that. He can do that because he can set himself up, and he's got Sharif Shaw as a coach teaching him all the right techniques. He's got a lot of guys around him. I think he's going to play a pivotal role this year on this football team.
He's the smartest dude in Utah sports media when it comes to University of Utah and college football. He's also the best-looking dude, and he's forgotten more about football than you'll ever know. It's our guy, Stevenson Sylvester, man. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks, Scotty G.
Like, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, man, I look good.
Oh, no, like, no. My wife humbles me every morning. Like, hey, fatty.
Oh, she, stop it.
Swear. I'm like you know
day,
what?
When you
right.
came in here the other day with no sleeves, I'm like, man.
Bro, it's summertime, Scotty. We got to let it go.
You need to let it go.
Just like Anchorman. You know, I was just doing my 1,000 reps.
No big deal, man. You're the best, dude. Thanks for hanging out.
You got it.
Appreciate it. Stevenson Sylvester, Utah legend, NFL player as well, right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.